We're going to chant together and then discuss briefly Shikshastakam number 5. Shikshastaka, Shiksha, Ashtaka. There are 8 instructions given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the mind works. This is one of the 8. So what something that tells us a number of things. Each one of these 8 is really important. And the essence of his teachings are contained in these 8. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Bhajana Rahasya, one of his books, has described that these Shikshastakam verses are sequential steps in the evolving of one's entrance into the pure holy name, and that means entrance into the gift that Lord Chaitanya gave, Braja Prem. It's in prayer form, or instruction and prayer form, it's Lord Chaitanya disclosing his heart and disclosing the access to love for Krishna in Vrindavan that we too can access through the chanting of the holy name done in a proper mood. So this morning's class, we're calling it crying for Krishna. And you'll hear why. Ai nanda taluja kinkaram patitam ma vishame bhavam budhau kripaya tava pada pankaja stita duni sadrisham vichintaya Ainanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavam budhau kripaya tava pada pankaja stita dudi sadrisham vichintaya. I'll just chant one more time and then word for word. Ainanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavam budhau kripaya tava pada pankaja stita dhuli sadrisham vichintaya. Word for word is Ayi, oh my Lord, Nanda Tanuja, the son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna, King Karam, the servant, Patitam, fallen, Mam. Me, Vishame, horrible, Bhava Ambudhau, in the ocean of nescience, Kripaya, by causeless mercy, Tava, your Pada Pankaja, lotus feet. Stita, situated at Dhodi Sadrisham, like a particle of dust, Vichintaya, kindly can. Translation, oh my Lord, oh Krishna son of Maharaj Nanda, I am your eternal servant. But because of my own fruitive acts, I have fallen in this horrible ocean of nescience. Now, please, be causelessly merciful to me. Consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. This verse is discussed in the final chapter of the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita, along with the other seven. Lord Chaitanya is explaining these verses, or Krishna Das Kaviraj is explaining. And here's the expansion of the mood and the meaning of the verse. This is just translation, no commentary. I am your eternal servant, but I've forgot your lordship. Now I have fallen into the ocean of nescience and have been conditioned by the external energy. Be causelessly merciful to me by giving me a place with the particles of dust at your lotus feet, so that I may be engaged in the service of your lordship as your eternal servant. Natural humility and eagerness, which, if you contemplate, they're seemingly contradictory emotions. It's like, stop, go. Humility and eagerness, transcendental humility, then awoke in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He prayed to Krishna to be able to chant the Maha Mantra in ecstatic love. And the next verse. When offering a meaning of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Prabhupada on a number of occasions offered the meaning of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as a call or petition or prayer to Krishna for his being reinstated in his devotional service. It begins with calling the internal potency Radharani. Another name of Radharani is Hara. Radha and Hara. And in the vocative becomes Hare. Calling her is Hare. So, O energy of the Supreme Lord, please engage me in Krishna's service. So it's a broad call, not for a necessarily yet, at least in the very beginning stage, not necessarily for a particular service, but for service, to be reinstated in his service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is taking that call for service and carrying his followers, literally carrying his followers to the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, in this verse specifically. I, Nanda Tanuja, it's very clear. Krishna, who is the son of Nanda Maharaj, so we're in Vrindavan now, or addressing the Lord of Vrindavan at least. I, Nanda Tanuja, Kinkaram, Kinkaram means servant. So, it's a very nice word. The literal meaning of the two parts of the word, kin and kara, kin means what? And kara means do. So, essentially it means what to do. A servant without a master is lost. You know, like in the social structure, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. The Shudra is the servant that without a master, the servant is lost. Shudras need to be engaged in service. It's their nature. It's not demeaning, it's just their nature. By birth, it's their nature, by guna and karma. So as far as the soul is concerned, there's no guna and karma. The soul in its liberated state. But it's the word can be used in a demeaning way, like a belittling way, pejorative way, kind of. Or in a transcendental sense, it's like Hanuman, in the sense of just being in the mood of service. Being in the mood of service. Any service, not picky, choosy mentality, service. Now, as the soul awakens in his constitutional position, there are particular services, particular likings for serving in this mood, in this way, and so forth, and that's a spontaneous stage of Raganuga Bhakti. And for us, at least at our present stage, it's sadhana bhakti, where the sadhana is to awaken the dormant propensity for being in service to Krishna, as opposed for the material condition of being the servant of the senses, godas. Krishna Das instead of Godas. Come to that position. Kinkara.
What to do?
And in the sense of the mood that Prabhupada said, the way to chant, you've heard this before, and it's where the theme of the morning class is arising from. The chanting should be done in such a manner like a child calling for the mother. My thoughts are going to Gita Nagari, at one of our retreats in Gita Nagari. And, you know, there's a room full of people, and we hear a child's voice crying. And out of all the different sounds, you know, in the universe, the mother and the father immediately stood up. Because they knew the particular sound vibration of their child crying. So those of you that are parents, you know what I'm talking about. And those of you that are brahmacharis, now you know what I'm talking about. That blood-curdling, shrill call has a unique pitch and they know which one it is. And as we have observed, at least I've observed, it's not just any mother can go comfort the child. The child knows who the mother is. Some mother trying to like calm the child down and hold the child, forget it. The child wants their mother. I was in an airport in China somewhere. And there was a child wandering around looking for their mother and father, not like baby, but, you know, a small child. And then the child couldn't find his mother and father. So the child started crying. And this mother, and that mother, and five mothers, and nothing was going to work. The child needed their mother. And then this crying got louder and screaming and wailing and, you know, send up, bring the fire department, put out the fire. That wouldn't have done it either. Just as soon as the mother came, the child was in the mother's arms, little sobbing, and then it was over. So that's the kinkara.
What to do?
Because we have this eternal relationship, and somehow or other, what's the Sanskrit for that? Yena tena pakarena, somehow or other, here we are, separated from our eternal relationship with Krishna. Ainanda tanuja kinkaram. Patita ma bhishame pavam bhindao. Because of my own fruitive acts, I have fallen into this horrible ambudi, the ocean of bhava, nescience, bhava rogue, material existence, because of fruitive acts, fruitive intention. We even tried to bring that into the arena of devotional service. If you notice carefully, I do this so I can get that and so I can be the enjoyer of that. Because, like, that's the program, right? You do this to get that and then be the enjoyer of that. That's the material mentality. I think I am the doer, kartaham, and when I do things, I do them because I want something, and then I get that something, and then I try to become the enjoyer of that something. Now I'm going to become a devotee. Okay, so I'm going to do this so I can get that and be the enjoyer of that thing that I did and created. Okay, so then you recognize, oh, that's not the right program. You try to get rid of it. It's like a stain. When I was a little boy, there was this children's story. I don't know, you know where it came from, about a tar baby. You from India don't know what a tar baby is, right? Never heard of it. So, you know, a bee is cute. A bee of tar isn't cute. And once you touch the tar, your hand is stuck. So you try to get your hand unstuck from the tar. What do? Put your other hand. Now your other hand is stuck. Put your foot. Your foot is stuck. And anything that touches the tar baby, it just gets more stuck. So try to get away from the tar baby and your tar. And then try to get the tar off, even if you could move your hand away, and it's tar. It's ever implicating and complicating and complex, and I don't know where the story came from, but the metaphor is very appropriate. It's like a tar baby, material fruitive activities. Try to get rid of it, the tendency. And we're stuck in that mentality. there's a nice, I like Sanskrit, although I haven't learned Sanskrit, but I like it in the sense, in several ways. It's spoken in the spiritual world, and it's a different language, and it's a very precise language, and so each word carries a new meaning. So here's one of them, abhiman. Maybe some of you from India, you know what abhiman is. It's commonly it's used as like dull material consciousness. But it's not necessarily dull material consciousness. It's literally it's self-conception. And most people, the self-conception is, I am this body, so it's dull material consciousness. But abhiman is how you consider yourself, like, you know, ego in the healthy sense. The self-conception, abhiman. So this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expressing towards Nanda Tanuja towards Krishna. I'm your Kinkara. It's my self-conception. It's a mood. A mood of humble service. The humble service part is the duli sadrisham. Duli means dust, a particle of dust. But he's interested in being a particle of dust that's stitta, situated at padapankaja. Pada means feet, and pankaja means lotus. He wants to be stuck on the lotus feet of Nanda Tanuja. That's my abhiman. That's his abhiman. And he's appealing, he's instructing. It's shiksha. It's instructions to us how we can approach the holy name in that abhiman, in that mood. The eternal kinkara. What to do? My master has gone. Actually, my master didn't go. I left my master, and now I'm lost. I've looked for other masters. I've looked to be the master of my activities, the fruitive activities, and I'm completely lost. And he's inviting this mood of calling out, or specifically like the child crying for his mother. In this case, Krishna is the mother. He's the mother, he's the father, he's the best friend, he's our teacher, he's our Lord, he's our master, he's our everything, he's our all in all. Oh, cloud, crying. There's a similar verse in Narottama Das Thakur's Prarthana. Some of you know this song. Some of you regularly sing this song. Haha Prabhu Nanda Sutta. Again, Nanda Sutta, the son of Nanda. Vrishabhanu Sutta Yuta. My dear Lord, you are now present with the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, Srimati Radharani. Now both of you, please be merciful upon me. Don't kick me away, because I have no shelter other than you. Narottama Das sings. We're dependent. Part of the, you know, this fruitive activity or fruitive tendency, stain that won't go away, is similar to our sense of being independent. We, especially, you know, it's like an American thing. But it's not just an American thing. Americans are just declaring it. Everyone else is thinking the same thing. We value our independence. I'll try not to speak long, but I want to tell an anecdote. It's really nice. I was at a home program. I was invited to attend a home program somewhere in Mid Tennessee, in Nashville. And it was the family that was the host was a new family, and they were very enthusiastic. A sannyasi is going to come to our home. They invited a lot of people to come to their home, and they were like sharing, ask very new people, so please speak something really simple. Really simple, like, you know, 101. And I said, how many people are you expecting? She said, 30 families. 30 families. I said, it doesn't work like that. They're new people. It's not going to be like that. No, 30 families. They promised me. They're our friends. They're going to come. I said, don't be disappointed. Here's how it's going to work. Out of the many people that you asked, was more than 30 families. Yes, we asked many more. And 30 said yes. Yes, 30 said yes. So what will happen is half of them will come, not 30 families, but maybe 15 families, average, and they'll come in time for prasadam. No, 30 families will come, and they'll come right on time. They promised us. He said, don't be disappointed. So we'll have kirtan, and then, you know, it was just the regulars. Then none of the 30 families came. So, because they wanted an introductory thing, so I had the children sit in the front, because I know everybody, new people especially, they want their children to learn about spiritual life. Well, they're doing their fruitive activities program. So we just had a little like thing with the children. Said, okay, kids, I'm going to ask you a question, and don't blurt out the answer. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, right? You got, like you're in school, just be, you know, raise your hand when you're ready. Okay? Here's the question. I'm a spirit soul, and I want to enjoy. And I know that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, but somehow I got this notion that says, I want to enjoy. Why should he always be the one enjoying? I want to be at the center. Right? So, I find myself in the material world where I'm trying to enjoy. And I'm really making a go of it, and somehow it doesn't come out right. So I think, okay, just to adjust and then it'll come out right. I didn't do it smart, now I'll just do it smart. And then I try again and it doesn't come out right, and I try again and it doesn't come out right, and I live my whole life that way and I die and it didn't happen. So then I take birth again. And my next birth, same propensity, same effort, and it happens again and again and again, and sometimes knocked in the jaw, and sometimes hit on the head, and sometimes, whoa, stepped on the foot. And it's, you know, after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, finally a little light goes on that says, hey, maybe this isn't the right program. So I decided I was going to do a U-turn and go back to where I came from. But I tried to do that, and that's not easy either. So how come? Why can't I just do a U-turn and go back where I came from? And they're, you know, waving their arms in the air. And then I called on some people, and they just laughed and said, I don't know. And then the other one. So one little girl sitting in the front, like, you know, maybe 4 years, 4 to 5 years old, she very calmly raised her hand. And she said, I called on her, and she said, the soul wants to go to Krishna, but the senses want to enjoy. I said, okay. And then another boy behind her took the cue and said, and the soul wants to go to Krishna, but the mind is too much attached to being independent. He was 7 years old. Said, okay, class is over. We're very attached to our independence. We're very attached. And this Kinkara message, or here with Narottama Das Thakur, please don't kick me away because I have no shelter other than seeking one's independence and declaring one's dependence. 4th of July. Declaring one's dependence is restoring one's transcendental independence, because we're always dependent even in the spiritual world. But there's so much more freedom, like Narada Muni has so much freedom. He's fully dependent and he's fully independent. It's like the enigma of transcendence. One who thinks oneself fully independent is fully dependent. One who thinks one fully dependent is becomes as much as a soul can become with freedom, because there's no interest other than this one interest. Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kuru nandana. And when we, so the advocacy here by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to take shelter of the holy name in that mood. So I'm just going to do two other things. There's a very, one of many beautiful writings of Raghunath Das Goswami is in this mood. He's written a meditation, how he is meditating on Radha and Krishna, and the scene, if you're good with your imagination, let your imagination go. Of course, they're in Vrindavan, and they're walking along a path, and Krishna is, because like the end, the verse 56 from Sri Brahma Samhita, all walking is dancing and all talking is singing in Vrindavan. So they're walking means they're dancing, and talking, which means they're singing, and they're singing the glories of each other in a way that it's not like, you know, we do, singing the glories of each other. It's transcendental, exquisite singing. And the birds hear the glorification of Radha and Krishna of each other, and they sing their bird songs to complement this mood of Radha and Krishna singing the glories of each other. And the trees along the path, they're showering their flowers in ecstasy, decorating the path for Radha and Krishna to walk as they're singing the glories of one another, as the birds are singing along with their song. And the bees are buzzing to hear, to receive the nectar of that sound vibration, which is sweeter than the honey within the flowers. And the breeze is carrying the aroma of the flowers from the path ahead of them, as the flowers are emitting their fragrances of transcendental happiness, seeing Radha and Krishna walking along the path, singing the glories of one another in this whole big crescendo. And all the living entities are similarly, their hearts are jubilating with the scene of Radha and Krishna's pleasure pastime. And then Raghunath Das laments, but how ecstatic is this meditation, but how unfortunate for me that I cannot be in that position with them. Because this is the prayer. The prayer is like the child calling to the mother. The child doesn't want to just see the mother or meditate on the mother. What does the child want? Parents, the child wants to be picked up and be held in the arms of the parent. Okay, I'm going to do a role play. I don't even have to cry. I just do that. You know, I'm a little child and do that. What does that mean? Like, it doesn't matter what the language is. Any culture in the world, any language of the world, this means the child wants to be picked up. And what is it that they want in being picked up? Just being held. Like being accepted. And I've seen it. They'll reach to the father or to the mother. They're in the hands of the arms of the father or mother. In 3 to 5 seconds, they're turning to the other mother, the other one of their parent, and they're reaching to the other parent, and the other parent extends their arms, and they're in the arms of the other parent for 3 to 5 seconds, and then they're wiggling and they want to go down. they want that acceptance. So this is such a call. And to enter into that spiritual realm, those who are declaring their dependence on Krishna are wise. Those who chant the holy name according to Srimad Bhagavatam, they're the most intelligent persons. And the most intelligent of the most intelligent are those that recognize it's not just the chanting of the name, it's the mood in which you chant the holy name, this mood of declaring one's dependence, to enter into not just meditation upon Krishna, but the presence of Krishna, in the fullness of the presence of Krishna, with that eagerness, with that crying, with that appeal. And I'm going to end with reading two translations, or as we say, paraphrased renderings of this verse, in addition to the one that we present. Here's from Bhaktivinoda Thakur first, his rendering of Shikshastika 5. It starts out the same. O Lord Krishna, O son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your eternal servant. Full stop. But as a result of my previous activities, I have fallen into this terrible ocean of material existence. Lust, greed, anger, envy, and all the rest are my adversaries. Semicolon. They are my enemies. They wait in the waters of this ocean of material existence like big fish ready to swallow me up. Waves of my hope, waves of my anxieties, toss me here and there, making my life miserable. Lashing storms of bad association add further suffering. Sound familiar? In this condition, therefore, I see you alone as my shelter. I now and then see some small bunches of weeds floating by. These are the weeds of karma, gyan, yoga, austerities, etc. I try to catch hold of them to help me as I'm ravaged by the storms of my fate in this ocean of material existence. But has anyone ever crossed the mighty ocean of nescience by their strength? The weeds, and trying to swim across the ocean. Some have reached out to grab the weeds for support, but unfortunately everything, including the person himself, sinks like dead weights. Factually, I can see that there is no hope for shelter other than your unlimited mercy. The sturdy boat of your holy name is the only means of crossing over this dangerous ocean of material existence. Soberly considering these facts, I beg for the invincible boat of the holy name from my guru, which he gave me by his causeless mercy. O Lord, you are the renowned protector of your devotee. Those souls surrender to your lotus feet. Therefore, please accept this homeless, destitute, this poverty-stricken person who has no wealth. Cleanse me of my faults and consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. Beautiful, huh? And then here is another that's very nice. O son of Nanda, Krishna, king of the country of love, I appeal for your affection. I am your servant. I feel deep within myself that I have some connection with you. I am subordinate to you. But somehow, I am now in adverse circumstances. There are so many enemies within me trying to take me away from you. Therefore, I cannot give my full attention to you and your holy name. At the same time, I feel from the deepest place in my heart that you are my master. You are all in all and everything to me. My heart will never be satisfied without your companionship, so I appeal to you. I am under unfavorable circumstances. I am suffering. And without your grace, I do not find any relief from my present imprisoned condition. Crying out to Krishna. That's so. One of the assisting little efforts that we're going to make to help you with your 32 rounds or 64 rounds or 108 rounds or whatever you plan to do, is this little device that's going to show it's, you know, every couple of minutes or whatever it is, some inspirations, crying for Krishna inspirations. There's a little book which one of Shivaram Maharaj's disciples put together called Crying for Krishna. I don't know if those have been taken from here, but this is another similar. Just inspiration to invite us to not just pace up and down and you know, pull the counter beads. Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls it the counting game. Not that one, but you know, calling from the heart in submission, pranipat, because we're dependent. It's real, we're dependent. And we're in unfavorable circumstances by our own creation. No one's to blame but our own foolishness. And to do the U-turn, it's not so easy. So we're dependent upon the mother picking the child up. The child can't jump up into the arms of the mother. During one of our Seattle Japa retreats, there was one devotee who, from time to time, they would just go like this. So when we were doing the sharing, I asked him, what was that? When I would get distracted, I realized my mind is not at all in the proper place, not focused. It was calling to Krishna, please help me. Crying for Krishna. So these things will hopefully also help you, these images of little messages, not to distract you, but as a meditation of crying for Krishna. Okay, so I'm just going to end. It's 20 minutes after 8. May you all have a wonderful experience and permanently from today forward in this whole experience of the Festival of the Holy Name, permanently enhance your relationship with Krishna through your relationship with the Holy Name. Everything is there in the Holy Name. The limitation is on our side, not on the Holy Name's side, how we approach the chanting. So I'll also remind you, as soon as we're done, don't begin talking. It's Monavrata time. And from now until the schedule, I think it's 2:15. We'll see you again here, bright-faced and ready to share what your experience was. Thank you very much. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.